It's OMF on EEI. With Lou Merlone.
I am here for peace, love, and greatness.
Christian Fourier.
Some ways to die.
And Glenn Ordway.
None of us are tweeting out apologizing for it.
He's a genuine love for Cam Newton enough to secure him a starting job with the Patriots.
Belichick genuinely loves Cam Newton.
The Celtics are playing well. Kemba looks to be back.
By hearing your name in trade rumors, also a light that fire for you to step out on the court and perform at a high level.
Now it's time for OMF.
I get it. Well, actually, I don't get it.
On EEI.
All right, I'm not going to fall for it again. Right. I refuse to fall for it again. Bill Belichick is in love once again. I'm not buying it.
I bought it with what?
Fool me once.
I bought it with Stidham. I'm not buying it again. Nope. According
to Ben, what do you mean?
I'm not buying it. Ben Volen, Bill Belichick's praise for Cam Newton throughout the 2020 season wasn't an act. Multiple sources who have spoken with Belichick this offseason said he does nothing but rave about Newton and the effort the quarterback put forth in 2020. One problem, he's concerned with the arm strength.
It's a little thing.
It's not a big thing.
Well, listen, when I read those first couple of lines, you know, that doesn't surprise me one bit. You know, we've talked before as far as, you know, listening to this guy talk, and whether it's a podcast or a Monday mornings with Greg Hill, it's, I think you enjoy that part of the Cam Newton experience. I think Bill has, you know, enjoyed working with Cam, and he raves about his effort. Sure, great effort.
This is
he
the
appreciates
most
the effort.
This is so predictable. It's like not even news. But it's not even scoops. There it is.
But
it's
you
like,
can do all that though, right?
Do
and
what?
Still, you can appreciate the effort. You can
sure.
like the guy. You can sit there and say, yeah,
he's not a quitter.
He was cool to hang out with. That was different than what we've had here at quarterback for a while. But when it comes time for kickoff, yeah, he doesn't have the arm strength. It was a lot of fun, but as a quarterback, no, it's time to move.
This is like, of course he enjoys working with them. Of course he does. He's accommodating. He's there early. He tells us how early he gets
4:30
there.
4:30 in the morning.
Is it 4:30? Yeah. Okay, just checking. It's not 3:15 anymore.
No,
it's 4:30. He gets up at 4:30. We know he stays late. We know that he's away from his kids. We know that he sacrifices. These are all things that Bill loves to see. Like and even when things got tough, and even when it was a challenging set of circumstances, the guy never bitched and complained. He was a great locker room guy. Of course, Ben Volen. Of course. Of course, Bill has praise. Imagine Bill going out to any of these complexes, any of these facilities, any of these combat, whatever it is. Hey, how'd it go with Cam? I'll tell you what, he was great. I mean, listen, we didn't give him much to throw to. He got COVID. We had all these crazy rules. We never practiced. Did you know that he didn't have an offseason? Yeah, he didn't have an offseason. And you know what? The guy won us 7 games. I mean, hell, it could have been worse. So, no, of course, he is happy with the way the relationship went.
So Ben Volen adds this. Again, multiple sources said they would not be surprised to see Newton back with the Patriots, especially if he's willing to take another cheap contract, though probably not minimum salary again. But everyone also expects the Patriots to draft a quarterback in the first few rounds.
Is another with no sources, right?
I would say this.
Multiple.
Bill's not the type, even with friends, to rip a bunch of these guys, any of these guys. He's not doing it. And I agree with what Lou said. You know, Cam came in. He did everything they asked him to do. He doesn't have the arm strength. He's not good enough to be a starting quarterback on a regular basis in the NFL. This whole idea that Ben Volen's getting multiple sources, sure, because Bill behind Cam's back is not ripping him.
So he knows that he doesn't have any arm strength. And Newton, who in 2019 on his own YouTube channel admitted that his injuries had, quote, sapped his ability to throw downfield. Well, yeah, we saw it when you try to throw a Hail Mary pass and it went 40 yards. Like, this is what drives me crazy. This is, to your point, you opened up, okay, I'm not going to fall for it a second time.
Nope.
It's like, here we go again. Let's force the issue. Let's shoehorn this quarterback in there so nobody pays attention to what's really going on. I would be shocked if they signed him again. I'm going to be the source. I'm going to be the guy who goes on the record saying, I would be shocked, Lou, shocked if they signed this guy again.
So this response about how he feels about Cam made me think about something. I just kind of found it. It clicked.
Uh-oh.
Jack Easterby. When Bill Belichick was asked about Easterby, right? And he says, yeah, Jack did a great job for us. You know, he worked on a lot of different aspects, players, coaches, support. He was a person who could connect well with everybody. He's a very valuable person in this organization. The time he was here, is he a personnel guy, Bill? Oh no, he's not a personnel guy. Like that's his job, but no, he's not. But he's a good guy. He worked really hard for us and helped us. And I feel like the same thing with Cam.
Yeah,
I worked his ass off. I really enjoyed being around him. Great personality, great guy. You know what? Guys really kind of. I don't know.
They gravitate towards
Yeah, the players gravitated towards Cam.
Yeah, yeah.
So would you want to play quarterback for you next year?
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. No, I want to play quarterback.
I think it's more likely that. And I think the same thing with Jack Easterby. Bill's probably laughing at what's
nice
going
guy.
On down there. Probably sitting there going, why did Nick take that job? Oh, my God. But you're right, Lou. I don't think he's going to rip any of these guys. It just doesn't make any sense. So this is Ben Volen. He was on with Ken and Curtis on their show on Saturday.
Based on the conversations that I had with two different people who have spent time with Belichick, here's what they both said. Belichick genuinely loves Cam Newton. He loves him. He loved his work ethic. He loved everything he brought to the table this year, except there's one big but.
Uh-oh.
His throwing shoulder. He obviously does not have a whole lot left, not a whole lot of juice left in that shoulder.
But his ability to play the quarterback position. I mean, who is not surprised?
That is the quarterback
position. But hold on, Glenn, are you generally pleased with Cam Newton as far as, the way he is with the media, how he takes criticism? Right, we're all generally feel the same way about him.
No,
and we also all generally feel the same way that he's a terrible quarterback.
I would love
that
to hear him.
That doesn't mean that we don't like him, because every time we're critical of him, all of us, before we say something negative, it is, okay, well, I love him. He's great on the morning show. Oh, he's a great dude. But damn, he sucks. Like, I'm going to start going the opposite way. I am not going to say all due respect. I am not going to say however. I'm just going to go with, I think he's a crappy quarterback. And then I'm going to say, and he dresses nice. I'm not going to do the opposite. I'm not going to do what everybody does is they give him a compliment before they insult him. I'm going to insult him and then give him a compliment.
Yeah,
see how that works.
There's one big but.
Uh-oh.
He would be great to sign him for the Greg Hill Show every Monday. And whatever he's doing in life, he would be a great guest. I just don't want him as the quarterback on his football team.
However, he's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
He's
okay. You got to say that, Glenn.
I'm sorry.
They'll come after you.
Yeah.
It all goes together.
I'm just saying.
He's the first person in the world
gets
the benefit of both.
I mean, it's a lot of general managers, coaches. They come across guys that they really generally enjoy having around on their team. Just good people. But then it comes time to, okay, now let's put our team together. So you got to take that part out of it, right? Especially at the quarterback position. Like, you don't think there's good people that have come through New England where Bill's just like, you know what, this guy's a really nice guy. I'm going to cut him. He can't make our team.
Can't play.
But I tell you what, this guy, he works his ass off. There's just not much talent there. But he works his ass off. He shows up. He does everything right. I don't have to tell him anything twice.
Yeah.
But he's just not good enough. And the same thing when it comes to other sports.
Here's the thing. I got two extra years by being that guy.
You were the nice guy?
I was a good locker room guy. I helped out with the younger. I was easy to coach. I was not an issue. I made sure I tried to help the young guys as much as possible.
Yeah.
That was me. It got me. I'm not even kidding. It got me two extra years.
Well, might get him another one.
It won't be with the Patriots because they're on to him. It'll be from another organization that has a younger squad, maybe a younger, impressionable quarterback that needs some guidance. Not a threat. Because here's the thing. Cam Newton's not a threat anymore to take your job. He isn't. So you can bring him into a locker room, into a quarterback room, and he can guide some younger guys, especially if the quarterback coach is young and inexperienced.
I don't know if he's there yet.
Well, no. Nobody's there yet until they're forced to kind of be there.
I'm not sure if they go up and draft one of these young quarterbacks that I want Cam Newton on this team. I'm not sure that's a good thing. Cam is such a loud personality. I'm not sure I want him in that same room.
Well, he'll tell you people are threatened by him.
Yeah.
He'll tell you on that little on that podcast, he said, guys, people are threatened by me, by my size, by my flamboyantness, is that a word? I don't know. Should I keep that for
you're right. No, you got a rookie kid in the draft comes in, and there's Cam Newton, the big personality. And you got to compete with that.
Like what people think happened with Jarrett Stidham.
Right.
He got intimidated.
Hopefully, you draft a kid in the first round, he won't be intimidated by Cam Newton. He'll want to take that job. But, yeah, you saw it last year with Stidham. Oh, Jesus.
At least that's what
Cam
we think.
Newton, I'm out. I can't win this job. It's Cam Newton.
There's not 32 guys better than me.
Nope, 34.
So the biggest Cam Newton fan in New England might have just churned on him, and that is bad news. We'll get into it coming up next. And where do the Patriots go from here? We are 17 days away from free agency. We're going to talk with Denny Thompson today. He's a quarterback trainer down in Jacksonville. The reason we're talking to him is Mac Jones is suddenly getting an awful lot of attention. He's worked with Mac Jones. He's also worked with Gardner Minshew.
Oh, nice.
Gardner Minshew's name is
Hey, baby. You come take a ride with the Mississippi mud flat?
So we're going to hype up Mac Jones.
How about this idea of Mac Jones as the next Tom Brady? We'll get into all of that right here on the Monday edition of OMF.
The destination for Boston sports fans. It's OMF on EEI.
Do you want Cam Newton as your quarterback next year?
No.
Why is he the best option?
Because he's the best option of the guys that are available. See, I don't get how people go, okay, so what do you want next year? And I say, here are the options that I want. If we're going to go bridge guy and draft pick, I would rather the bridge guy be Cam Newton.
I understand that. We hear it. I understand that.
So I don't get why you find that as an issue when Bill Belichick feels the same way. You get Fitzpatrick next year, you'll be worse than 7-9.
Okay.
And I'll sit here at this time and I'll say, I told you so. For all you jabronis out there going, Wiggy's an idiot. Wiggy has no idea what he's talking about.
So, Wiggy does want Cam Newton, but he believes that everybody else on the list is not as good a quarterback as Cam Newton. What am I missing here?
Not surprised. I don't understand what he was saying. He says, these are the options that I want, and then he only gave
one
option?
Yeah, the guy called up and said, do you want him as your quarterback?
Do
he said,
you
no.
want Cam Newton as your quarterback next year?
No.
That was quick. Okay, that's it. End of story.
But he
done.
Said, like,
there
if,
is
if,
no.
If it's Newton or Winston, he'd rather have Newton. Newton or Garoppolo would rather have Newton. Newton or anybody at this point.
Patrick, yeah.
He would rather have Newton, which I still disagree
Newton
with.
Newton or, you know, Nate Solder at quarterback. Of course. I mean, like, to me, it's either are you committed to moving on and moving forward from what you saw last year, or are you willing and open to kind of kicking the can down the road a little bit longer? To me, like, either you decide to be done with that experiment because that's what it was. You were the bridge quarterback last year. Because if you bring him back, you already know what he can give you. So if he's a starter, you know what you're going to get. If he's a backup, you know what you're going to get. So you're not going to get the same exact quarterback as a young guy that's Cam Newton. Cam Newton's not going to be anything. Cam Newton is not going to be able to do anything that the younger quarterback, newer quarterback is going to do. None of them. He can't throw the deep pass like this young guy can. He won't be as fast as him. He won't be as active. And I have a good reason to believe that he won't be as smart. I mean, be able to pick up the system as quick because, you know, they're going to change the calls every week.
But he's a good
how
guy.
How is he going to catch up?
But he's a good guy.
How is he going to catch up when they change all the calls and the reads every single week and they don't tell him until game day?
Good dresser. Good guy.
Oh, yeah, but he is a good dresser. We like him.
Last year you can look at it and say maybe they put too much faith in Jarrett Stidham and then realized, oh, my God, maybe he can't do it. And at the last second, Cam Newton dropped on their lap because no other teams wanted to take him. I don't think you can make that excuse for Bill Belichick in this offseason. And I'm not saying that all of these guys are going to be available, but I think there are going to be enough options out there where you can move on from Cam Newton. And if you don't, good luck.
I mean, you know, when he talks about like Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I just saw that Pro Football Talk put their top 100 free agents out there. Number one, they had like Dak Prescott, right? So is he a free agent? Is he going to get tagged? Whatever. Allen Robinson. But at 41, so Dak Prescott was the number one quarterback. And then at 41, he had Cam Newton at 41. And at 49 was like Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you look at the last 3 or 4 years, Ryan Fitzpatrick's been a much better quarterback than Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Much better quarterback than Cam Newton. And he can run a little bit, right? So I don't understand why you'd rather have Cam Newton. And it's almost like, you know, since the season started, he's gotten so much better than he really was.
And I think it's gone the other way.
No, I'm serious.
Wait, you mean Cam Newton, right?
Cam Newton has gotten so, like last year, he was actually good.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? If you just sort of listen to what's being said about him and read people talking about him on podcasts, and it's like, it's amazing how much better this guy's gotten in the last 2 months, and he hasn't played at all. You know, to the point where people are just, like, Pro Football Talk, we know they love him. Like Chris Sims, we know he absolutely loves him. But the 41st best free agent? Like, Jameis Winston was the guy in between. So it was like Dak Prescott, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton. You know, then Fitzpatrick's after him, Trubisky's after him, he's got Dalton after him. And, you know, really, that's kind of the free agent quarterbacks is not much, right? Because there's other guys who are under contract, guys like Minshew and Garoppolo and all these other ones, Mariota. But I just feel like people are hyping this guy's up, like this guy's season up, like he was actually pretty good last year.
But I think Christian has nailed it, and that is, if you're looking at all the different check marks, he gets a check mark in that he's a good guy. He gets a check mark that he's a great personality. He gets a check mark that he's a leader. Other players say that he's a leader. He gets all of those check marks. There's only one area he doesn't. That is quarterback play or passing ability. He gets nothing, and that's, to me, the most important. Can you play this position at a high level?
I do think that he also carries around his like former accomplishments.
Yeah, his MVP trophy.
He does. It's almost like, you know, when he walks into a room, he's like, oh, sorry, that's my MVP trophy. Treat me and give me respect. Yeah, but you're old now and you can't throw. Oh, my God, what is that? First round pick. Oh, my God, that's the Heisman. So you automatically come in with any discussion with a little bit of a lead, I would say. So even though Ryan Fitzpatrick is a better passer and I would say a better quarterback, Cam Newton being in front of him is like, why? What are the intangibles? And maybe that's what it is. Oh, his leadership ability. Ryan Fitzpatrick seems like a pretty damn good leader.
You know, it's funny because remember that first game against New England, and he was just a train wreck, right? I think he threw three picks. And that's what you get from Fitzpatrick, right? Yeah, it happens.
Trick-or-treat.
He was benched after seven games. So I was looking at that first game, zero touchdowns, three picks. And I said, okay, let's see what he did 2-6 to get benched. 2-6, 70% completion percentage, 10 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 104. That's what Ryan Fitzpatrick did after the opening day against the Patriots in his next six games to get benched. They were 3-3 at the time, right? And I know you can't cherry pick, but I'm just saying opening day against the Patriots, he wasn't good. After that, 70% completion percentage and 104 rating and went to the bench. And you're like, okay. And that guy just showed you in six games more than Cam did, you know, in 16. That's for sure. He never had a six-game stretch like this. He had one game in Seattle. Like, that was about it.
Listen, I'm not ready to anoint him as the guy that's going to lead you to the promised land. Let's face it. He is slightly better than Cam Newton. But why would you not bring in somebody that is slightly better than Cam Newton?
I don't even think he's slightly better. I think he's much better than Cam Newton.
Can I just ask, like, what is the infatuation? Like, what is it?
It's his personality.
Okay, so that's it. So the infatuation.
Like,
so you're willing to ignore everything your eyeballs are telling you. Everything you've witnessed and watched over the past 20 years. And based on that infatuation, you're almost hypnotized. Like, it's like you can't even see straight.
Brainwashed.
It's like you got Cam goggles on. That's what it is. You got Cam goggles. It forces you to see everything through like rose-colored glasses that make everything pretty and effective. It's insane. It really is. And yet people keep pushing the envelope. So Ben Volen throws out this nugget that Bill was generally happy and liked coaching Cam Newton. Not surprised at all.
Nope.
I think he was generally happy coaching Jacoby Brissett. Generally happy coaching Brian Hoyer. Jarrett Stidham. I think he was probably happy and really liked coaching Jacoby Myers. There's a guy that worked his ass off. Kyle Duggar. When do we end? Who did he not like coaching? That's a better question. Who did he not like being around? Who bugged the crap out of him other than Lou? Anybody? Anybody?
I have no idea.
You're clipping something, aren't you?
Yes.
Damn it! It's early.
No, that's okay.
You're clipping it.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I was looking at something.
What'd you clip? Listen, hold on. If you're going to do this for OMF Ups on Friday, don't give it away by giggling.
I'm not giving it away.
You are giggling.
No.
You giggled and you gave it away. There's the cream of the prop that... Okay,
that one's an obvious one. That's a good one. We like that one. I just think there's better options. And I'm fearing that
as
time goes on, people are justifying it. You know, you got that podcast that he's on with these guys and they're talking about, you know, how good he was.
People love him.
You know, based on the factors around him. We all know the weapon sucked. We all know he didn't have much time. But, you know, trying to make excuses about this COVID thing when everyone was on Zoom with him, he missed one practice. But we just bought that hook, line, and sinker. Like, it's legitimate. People wrote about it, how it's legitimate. It's not legitimate at all. And I'm afraid that, you know, the people are kind of hyping up his year. And you know what? He's not going to have a job. And then it's going to turn into, why is Cam Newton getting blackballed?
Oh, no, that's coming.
And it's is it because he's got a strong voice, you know, and people don't want him in his locker room, and he's being blackballed.
No, because he
he's convinced everybody, or he's starting to, that last year was actually a good year. And after the year he had, how can he possibly not have a job? This is Cam Newton. We got him as the 41st best free agent in the market. This guy hasn't signed yet. What is going on? He's being blackballed.
Yeah.
Well,
we forget he sucks.
You're still Superman.
Superman. Jesus.
See, the worst ones that you see out there when people are talking about Cam Newton is they're giving him an excuse. And they're basically saying that New England has the worst depth chart when it comes to wide receivers and tight ends.
Sure.
Which, by the way, is accurate. It's true. Okay. But let's take it to the next step. Having watched Cam Newton throw the football this year, if you got great receivers, you tell me he's going to get them the ball in the spot that they are going to in their route. I'm not buying that. I think you could have a great roster of wide receivers and tight ends, and you would still have this problem of him connecting with those receivers.
Like I said, we watched these games. The year before, Brady did the same thing, right?
Yep.
Completion percentage was much worse because he threw balls away. He didn't take sacks. But you see, Brady would throw balls, and a wide receiver would stop, and he would throw it like 3 yards in front of him. And then you could see there's some miscommunication. This was the wide receiver would stop, Cam would read it, he would throw it to him, he'd one-hop it to him. He couldn't get him to him. You know, so it just, if you looked at it, I mean, if you're sort of lazy and sit there and say, well, he had the same weapons, or just as bad as Tom the year before, and you didn't get on Tom, and now you're getting on Cam, it's like, yeah, unfortunately for you, we watch the games. We see the difference. We see guys open him, overthrowing him. Whereas the other thing, it's just Tom was throwing it to space at times where guys weren't. And you're like, okay, whatever. There's miscommunication there. It looked differently. And for people to say otherwise, I think it's just lazy. You haven't looked at it. There's some kind of agenda you're kind of rolling out there.
All right, so we're not falling for it. Bill Belichick's just not going to knock Cam Newton. We're not falling for the fact that he loves Cam Newton.
I intimidate a lot of people.
It's not happening. Got some bad news for you, fellas. J.J. Watt, not coming to the Patriots.
We knew that.
Nope, not coming to the Patriots. What are the Patriots going to do with free agency 17 days away, especially at the most important position in the game, and that is quarterback? We'll get to it in your phone calls. 617-779-7937, right here on OMF.
Get social. Facebook.com/WEEI and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Now more of OMF on EEI.
The other, in case of emergency, break glass situation exists on Cam Newton's part. You can't come back to the Patriots and be told you're going to compete for the job if you think you're one of the 32 best. I think there's going to be a disconnect between the two sides as to who was to blame or what were the reasons Cam didn't succeed. Because as we listen to this interview, Cam did explain ad nauseum that he felt left behind by the Patriots.
Well, they did change all the terminology while he was gone for that day, you know. So that was, I can understand it.
It's like what they do to all the rookies, all the new players. They haze them.
April Fool's.
Like hazing is like alive and well in one Patriot place.
I tell you what, we're getting sucked right back into this topic.
Nope, not me.
I'm not buying any of this stuff. I'm not buying it. I've already said that I'm not buying it. But I think, so over the next 17 days, what does Cam Newton do? So if you're the New England Patriots, you're not going to give him a contract right now. Free agency starts on the 17th. What do you do then?
If he signs,
Cam's got to go talk to other teams. He's one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the league.
Here's what will happen. His agent will say, I've had some people call, but they're going to wait. The same thing they did last year. We've had some people call. We've had some conversations. Nobody's really willing to do anything to maybe after free agency or after the draft. So we're going to wait. So if you waited 86 nights and he didn't do anything to prove those people who waited wrong after being a starter for 15 games, I don't understand why would anyone be jumping to the opportunity to sign him.
The forgotten Cam.
To me, I just don't see, as far as free agency goes, I'd be curious to see if any of these guys kind of get picked up right away. Like, you know, as far as free agents now, because you're talking about, you know, again, if you're looking at this list, Dak Prescott, okay, like... and listen, we think something's going to happen there quickly. We'll see what happens there. But like Winston and Cam and Fitzpatrick and Trubisky and Dalton, like these sort of guys, like aren't they, I don't know, don't you think a lot of teams are sort of, let me see what happens at the draft? Let me see if I get the Patriots. Hey, if I can get up and get my guy, then that might change, you know, who I want at quarterback. If I'm taking a flyer on the third round on a quarterback, that might change who I want at quarterback. Now, the tough part is trying to how do you decide that ahead of time? In other words, if you look at a guy like Fitzpatrick and says, hey, if I draft a kid, I'm good with you, you know, or Trubisky, you know, like we think there's more upside there, or Winston is more upside there, but, you know, if I get up to move up to four and end up getting my guy, like, I don't know if I want you anymore.
Yeah, I think
a lot of teams waiting for the draft, right?
Yeah, I said this last week. I think the Colts jumped the gun, and they might have made a mistake going for Carson Wentz.
Why?
Because there might be a better opportunity for them out there. They have plenty of money. I still think Deshaun Watson is going to go somewhere else. I think that is a situation that is not going to be remedied, and he's going to have to go somewhere else. And so there's a bunch of stuff. I don't buy San Francisco and John Lynch telling me that Jimmy Garoppolo is their guy. We now have got another report that they called up Carolina about Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, but I mean, to me, it's like everybody's calling everybody. Everybody's
lying. They're all lying.
I don't think you would be doing your job if you didn't just, like John Lynch said, like when he was calling about, you know, Garoppolo, or Bill was calling about Garoppolo. It's like, what about Tom? Like, he just threw it out there just to see. You know, you got to have balls that way. But just going back to the Deshaun Watson situation. So there was last week the rumors, or the statements about, you know, this is over, and, you know, loyalty is important, and he's never going to play for them again. And now it's, you know, he's going to hold out. He's going to hold out. I don't think he does. I don't think he does.
I think he absolutely does.
I think when he starts realizing the amount of money that he's going to be losing and the fines that he's going to have to be paying, I do think he's going to be like, this was a bad idea.
Well, the point is, the only quality quarterbacks to where you can sit there week one, sign your quarterback, and know he's your guy is through trades. You know, whether it be Deshaun Watson, obviously, Russell Wilson, whatever, maybe even a Garoppolo. You know, I don't know. I think that he's just your guy. You're good. But other than that, well, to me, the free agents are all tied into the draft. They're all tied in. Like, there's no free agent that is out there. Again, you know, like Jameis Winston's the second highest. I'm not even putting Dak there. We'll see what happens with him. No one's going to sit there week one and say, yeah, we need to go out there and hurry up and get Jameis Winston. Unless you're a team that is fine with your starting quarterback and think he's your backup or something, right? I just think these guys, all the free agents, the quality isn't there. So I wouldn't be surprised if all of them are sitting there until after the draft. And then once a team sits there and says, all right, we ended up moving up to get this guy, or we couldn't get that guy, now we start looking at the draft. I just don't know where these guys are going to go.
The Colts, you know, their coach obviously knew about Carson Wentz, so maybe he is one of those guys. Again, they have great egos. I can fix him. I know exactly what the problem is. I know we can deal with this. But I don't think these other teams are going to move. And I disagree with you, Christian. I think, and you're already seeing the trend, turning down there in Houston now. John McClain, the columnist down there, been there for a zillion years, basically came out this weekend and said, Texans, you've got to deal them. This is stupid. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to be sitting here waiting, and he's going to hold out, and you're going to get nothing in return. So I think the tide is turning. The polls down there in Houston are saying it's time to trade him away. Houston's got to do it to save the franchise right now. So I think that's going to happen, and that may have a domino effect. But this guy, Tyler Sullivan of CBS Sports, picks the top veteran quarterback options for the Patriots in 2021. He's got Jimmy G number one, Marcus Mariota number two, Jacoby Brissett three, Ryan Fitzpatrick four, Cam Newton five. So he's got four guys ahead of him, followed by Tyrod Taylor, Andy Dalton, Teddy Bridgewater, Gardner Minshew, and Nick Foles.
So if I'm being honest,
I want you to be honest, by the way.
I would put the only guys I would actually put behind Cam Newton would be Nick Foles and Andy Dalton.
Yes.
I agree with that.
I'm putting Tyrod, Teddy Bridgewater, and Gardner Minshew all in front of him. So basically, I would have him at seven.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. And that's why Cam Newton is not going to be coming back, because one of these six guys is going to be available, and I still think it's Garoppolo's the guy. I think he's going to be available. And I think we know deep down inside, Bill does really like him, right? Unlike the
like
other
anybody,
statements.
Hates everybody else.
Does like him. Jeff Howe breaks down the possible cap casualties. We were talking about this the other day, guys. We went through the entire list. And he brings up right tackle Marcus Cannon. Immediately comes to mind, the Patriots could save $7 million in cap space by going in another direction. He brings up Michael Onwenu was a significant upgrade as a rookie compared to Cannon's previous two seasons, which were trending down. But I looked at these numbers over the weekend, and I think Marcus Cannon's a guy they're going to let go. I think they're going to take that $7 million. I don't think he's worth that. They could use that $7 million in a lot of different ways. I think that when you look at Patrick Chung, it's going to cost them money to let him go because of the way that new contract was done. They either redo that deal or they bring him back. And obviously with Hightower, they have got to redo that deal. And what other options does Hightower have?
I think they're going to end up redoing all the deals. Honestly, some of these guys may just get cut and re-signed because they won't have any other work anywhere else. But that's what they do. I mean, that's what they do. So would you be surprised if they asked Patrick Chung to, you know, to redo his deal? Or they tried to figure out more ways to save money with Dante Hightower?
I think the Chung contract is going to be a difficult one.
To me, it's like when you see the structure of that deal, like that looked like a 1 year deal. They definitely wanted him for last year.
Right.
And then the second year, it's like, okay. The third and fourth year, he wasn't going to be around. Like when you looked at that deal, like as far as dead cap money goes, that was a 4 year extension. That was really a 2 year deal. But it was all the money was kind of tied into year one. And I just wonder him sitting out last year kind of changes it. Well, you know, we wanted you for 2020-21. And now that we've seen what Duggar can do and we see how Adrian Phillips fits in this organization, we're going to extend Adrian Phillips. And we're going to have Phillips and Duggar for the next 4 or 5 years. Not you. You know, so, and then he has other names here like Bo Allen, Matt Lacoste, Danny Vitale, Akeem Spence, Brandon King, Tashaun Bauer. I mean, there's another $8 million with guys right there that you don't really need or want. So I go back to like Cannon and you know, I don't know. I don't know if you can afford to just release him. Now, if you think that there's going to be all these, you know, free agents that are going to be out there that you can get him for
less than veterans.
Yeah, maybe you can get a right tackle for less than $4.5 million that you got him, you know, as far as salary goes. But, I mean, you've already got so much cap space. Like, I just named five guys you don't even know, six guys you don't even need anymore. Now you're already up to over $70
million. Yep.
So, and Hightower, hey, listen, maybe I keep Hightower. I like to see him upgrade Hightower and get like a $14 million high-end free agent linebacker because you can save $10 million from Hightower. But then again, maybe you look at Hightower and say, yeah, we just keep him where he is. You know, because now there's our veteran. We go get edge rusher, defensive line. So you can go elsewhere. But you already got so much free cap space there. So much. God, you're already over 70 by just cutting some guys you don't even know about.
But I do believe that by having all of that cap money right now comes at the greatest offseason, in which they're bringing down the ceiling of the cap. And so you're going to have a lot of opportunities. There are going to be a lot of really good players who are going to be cut by teams, not because they didn't like the player, but because they can't afford to pay the player. And you're going to get a lot of those guys. And there are other teams, when they go back out of the market, where are they going to go? I mean, they'd like to go to a winner if they're a seasoned veteran, but how many of those winning teams are going to have cap room to bring them in? So the Patriots may be in as good a position as any team in the league. Now, Jeff Howe talks about Gilmore. Says the Patriots and cornerback Stephon Gilmore are also expected to address his contract. He's scheduled to earn only $7.5 million. We've talked an awful lot about this because they accelerated the bonus money over the past 3 years. But his cap hit is $16.3 million. So the question there is, do you need him? He's your best player, maybe on the entire team, right? He's an all-pro player. So do you redo an extension with him to extend him? And again, he's getting up there in age. Or do you use him now to gain more assets when it comes to draft night?
Well, okay, based on last year, based on all like the signs, I guess, with the selling of the house, the tweets and the taking down the tweets and removing the Twitter page, all that stuff. Hey, would you say that's a guy that's just kind of
something, ain't right?
Like, yeah, something's going on there.
Something's going on. Yeah,
and maybe he's trying. He doesn't want to do anything publicly, but he can't resist. So he's always subtly throwing out some jabs and some, you know, all these little, you know, tidbits of like with some sort of weird hidden meaning or something like that. He's obviously not happy with making $7.5 million.
No, because last year he looked at it and said, okay, yeah, I played at a number I was comfortable with because you bumped me up.
You gave me money to be earned next year.
Right. But it wasn't like you bumped up my salary this year and bumped up my salary my last year. You just borrowed it. So now I'm making a lot less on this last deal. Can you get creative? You know, can you give them another bump, throw on another year or whatever? And you know, like these voidable contracts, you know, can you get creative with it to get that $7.5 million up to, say, $14.5 million and tie in a second year or third year? And we all know it's kind of trash. It's just a paper deal, right? Can you do something like that? Sure. You know, and I think depending on what your defense looks like and how you spend in free agency, you know, that could be an option. Say, why should we get rid of him? Let's try to work something out. But I could also sit there and see them trying to move this guy for $7.5 million to an organization that wants to invest in Steph Gilmore and give him the kind of money he wants. Because I don't think you just give him like a three-year contract extension at $16 million at his age. Bill's not going to do that. Well, it's going to be some funny contract.
Yeah, no, and that same philosophy that they had with Revis, that they had with Ty Law, that they had with
it was dead
Tom
money
Brady.
With Revis, if you remember, right?
I know, but with Tom, my point is that they were not going to sit there and reinvest more money with this guy. Reinvest more money on a guy who they think is actually on the opposite side. That's on the that's going in the opposite direction. Like that's why they didn't pay Brady $30 million.
But I'm saying all that dead money that you incurred this year because of that last year of Tom Brady, because you sort of felt like you should, you know, one more year. Let's try to bring in Antonio Brown. Let's try to do this. Let's try to do that. Tom Brady's deal. I know we're going to eat some dead cap, but hey, it's probably his last year. Let's go for it. Type of philosophy. Even though we knew that they were far away from winning. I don't know. Do you feel that way about this year's team? Like, is Bill going to sit there and say, hey, I'm going to extend, you know, Gilmore for another year or two so I could take a $10, $15 million cap hit down the road for this year? Like, I don't know if you do that for this year.
Yeah, but the one thing I would be leery with here, guys, is that you take him out of the equation and then you find out, man, he was really the difference of us being a good defense and not being a good defense, that they stayed away from his side. Now they're able to do all sorts of stuff against that defense.
Well, I think they know that.
Right, that he's the most important guy. So if you take the most important guy out of there, does it not have a domino effect and really start to take apart your secondary? Because I don't know how you replace him. What are we replacing him with?
J.C. Jackson.
Yeah, okay, so J.C. Jackson
Jones.
Moves up his number one.
Bring Jonathan back Jason Jones McCourty.
Right? Right.
Oh, yeah, that's...
That would be the fear I would have. There's one thing about sitting here and saying, okay, he's up there in age, and we gotta understand we're going to overpay him down the line. If we redo it and we do 3 years, it might only be good for 2 years. But do you also have to look at, if you're going to be a much better football team next year, it's got to be on the defensive side of the ball. Your defense is going to have to hold up because there are only so many things you're going to be able to do on the offensive side of the ball and maybe not be able to get the quarterback you need. Defense
yeah,
has got to be
is,
stout.
I would say
good.
Is as far as like, you know, areas of importance, obviously finding a quarterback is always number one. I feel like it just goes without saying. Figuring out what you're going to do with him, I think, would almost be next with me. Like, okay, we need to, obviously, now we need to kind of address this situation.
What do you get in return, guys?
What do you mean?
You're not going to get a first-round draft pick for him. You're probably not going to get a second. What are you talking about, a third or fourth-round draft pick for a guy who was the defensive player of the year a year ago?
Well, look what J.J. Watt just got. Now, J.J. Watt was three-time defensive player of the year, and I would say he was on the back end of his career. I mean, he only had 5 sacks last year. But there was a bunch of years when he had, you know, multiple, like, you know, 20-plus, 15-plus sacks.
All right, so he
just got
years.
Paid by the Arizona Cardinals. I would say, well, it's $23 million guaranteed.
Guaranteed over 2
deal.
Years. Right.
Okay, so, this shouldn't surprise you then. So, teams, now, I don't know why Arizona wasn't even listed as one of the teams, you know, that were kind of in the J.J. Watt market. They flew under the radar. They snatched him up, and they probably overpaid him
right,
in order to get him.
More money than anybody else.
Okay,
that's
so that's what that is. So that wasn't J.J. Watt trying to get a ring. That was J.J. Watt going to the person, to the team who was offering the most money.
Bingo.
So why wouldn't – so when you say, oh, no one's going to pay him, they just paid J.J. Watt. Guys like Gilmore have this, you know, certain, I don't know, swag attached to them. And some team says, well, in order to get him, we got to overpay him. But the Patriots aren't gonna sit there and pay him that much money to let him go someplace else.
See, I think that's interesting too when you talk about J.J. Watt, because everybody said, well, J.J. Watt's only gonna go to a contending team or whatever. Now, I think Arizona's in that next level down, but he's only got 2 years there. And I'm not sure Arizona the next 2 years is gonna get into that upper echelon. So what did he do? He took the money. That's what happened. this was probably the best offer he had out there, right?
Yeah, well, but he's
and they're a decent team. They're a good team. I just don't think they're a championship.
But
he goes.
They could talk him into playing alongside Chandler Jones on the opposite side.
Yeah,
and then they can look at our quarterback, and you know, obviously you got DeAndre Hopkins, and you could sit there and say, okay, we're going to address the second wide receiver. It's not going to be Larry Fitz. You know, it's Christian Kirk's going to be a third guy. We're going to upgrade at wide receiver. We're going to have an explosive offense, which we have. We're going to improve our defense. You're part of it. So this is the whole idea of like, you know, wanting to win and only a few places, you know, that you can do it at. Well, I think you can convince some people, maybe look at Arizona and say, listen, we're on our way. We have the quarterback. We have the best wide receiver in football. We have the best sack guy on one side. We're going to put you on the other side of him. You know, and just sort of, you could talk these guys into it. I don't think it's, you know, he didn't go to Detroit, you know, for the cash. You know, he was, listen, he's living in Scottsdale. It's not a bad place.
No.
God bless him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Okay. We'll get back to some football coming up a little bit later on, and we'll actually talk to a guy who's been training Mac Jones and Gardner Minshew. So we'll get back into the quarterback situation. But how about those Celtics? Woo! Green Teamers are feeling pretty good now. Two wins over the weekend. Does it mean anything? We get to it next, and your phone calls at 617-779-7937.